You're with SBS Radio.
Bell Studio started in 2008, and we've been operating now for 12 years in remote communities in Australia and Papua New Guinea.
And what do you do with these remote communities? Because your studios are involved in architecture and working with Indigenous communities to co-develop projects. But tell us specifically what kind of projects you go through, you've achieved and realized.
Well, we've been invited into all the communities that we work in, and I generally take in a group of about 12 students and a couple of other staff members.
Yeah.
And we're responding to the community's aspirations for new infrastructure in these communities. And
yeah.
It can vary between health hardware, which can be composting toilets or a neonatal clinic, through to education facilities like the ones that we've done in remote Australia, through to culture projects as well. So there's a variety of different projects that we've worked on over the 12 years.
And one of the items that features in this exhibition here, it's a timber-framed and clad composting toilet. Is it the type of toilet we see on highways between major cities, or it's a new concept altogether?
It's a new concept altogether. Where one of the communities that we worked in many years ago, the students reported to us the need for much better toilet facilities. It was a community on the coast in Papua New Guinea, which meant that when you got big storm surges or rather large floods or whatever, the pit toilets weren't able to cope, and the poo was like leaching out of the toilets and being spread all around the communities. So we put our heads together to develop a new type of composting toilet that ensured that the poo would be separated from the floodwaters under all circumstances and reduce the horrible health problems that were associated with that.
Oh, and what kind of material do you use for that kind of... would it be something very expensive, sustainable? What kind of materials do you use and what techniques do you use?
Our goal is to make sure that we're using local materials wherever possible.
Yeah.
So that the composting toilet is made, is framed from timber and clad with plywood, which means that the local community can be a very big part of the construction process, which is very important. But we're providing the opportunity for them to improve their construction techniques by using constructing with power tools, which means that the community is very excited by this, but also it improves their employability in town as well, so that there's multiple benefits for these sorts of projects.
Yeah, so you do these projects for PNG, but then I have to remind our listeners that your project is specialized in linking postgraduate architecture students and staff to remote Indigenous communities, as well as communities in Thailand. When we're talking about this concept that was developed with the PNG in mind, but is this also applicable to communities within Australia?
No, most of our projects are done in remote Australia, so mainly in the Northern Territory, but we have also worked in remote Western Australia.
Yeah.
These projects are much, much more likely to be projects about improving housing or livability around housing, but also culture projects and education projects. So recently I have returned from a project that we completed in 2011 in the Wakathuni community in Western Australia. And there we built an early learning centre with the community, of course, helping. And the project, the education program, was supported by the University of Melbourne's education faculty. And it's been running now for 8 years. And we returned to see how it was all going. And the project's going very well. The community has increased its school attendance, very good outcomes for the students, and it's terrific to go back and see how the projects are being sustained over that period of time.
And this exhibition is running until the end of September, towards the 26th or 27th, I believe.
Now,
yeah, and there are visual representations of the back catalogue of your work. What other items are exhibited?
As you mentioned, we've done many projects, so we've built 30 buildings over the times that we've been operating in 17 different communities. And in many cases, we've been able to record some really interesting video footage of this, not just of the students and the local community working, but also revisiting, seeing what's happened to these projects over time. And the students have done some wonderful videos recording some of the other interesting stories that have come from the communities as well. So, for example, how people, the distances that people will travel to get to school, their commitment to their sorts of that kind of learning is very, very important to people, which is very heartening to see, through to stories of how the process is put together. So working in remote areas, we have to make sure that we take a kit of all of the parts that we need for the construction process, and in many cases they're packed into shipping containers back here in Melbourne and then sent off with all the materials required, and then at the location at the end we will unpack all of the pieces and often put the buildings together like giant bits of Meccano all bolted together as well. So there's lots of interesting stories about how the process is undertaken.
If there's, let's say, some major weather event that happens in a certain place, are you able to ship there a kit that would help alleviate the situation very quickly, or this takes time to produce these kind of sustainable amenities?
The thing that takes the time is making sure that the project is actually conceived of correctly, designed properly, and all of the making sure that the community is very, very involved. That kind of thing does take a long time.
Yeah.
But once the design is sorted out, we can actually work quite quickly to get the pieces assembled together back in Melbourne and sent off so that we've got a really good group of industry partners that help us with our projects. And they're very, very supportive, which is terrific. So we can actually work quite quickly once the design is sorted. There could be a long lead time for that kind of ensuring that everyone is totally confident about the appropriateness of the design. But once that's sorted out, we move quite quickly.
Any opportunities coming up for postgraduate architects and other communities who would be interested in taking part in this?
Well, we find the students that are involved in it are part of the Melbourne School of Design, which is a master's level program at the University of Melbourne. We get lots of students very keen to be involved in this, and you find that once they graduate, many of them are very committed to this type of work and go on to participate in other organisations that are very keen to ensure good design for communities that often aren't able to access these sorts of skills and opportunities. So it's something that is in many ways snowballing the effects of this type of project, which is very heartening to see.
Any word or message to take home after this conversation?
Oh, look, there's one of the things that I very much enjoy about these sorts of projects is how much I learn as well. I feel like in many ways I'm still able to be a student, even though I've been working in this area now for more than 20 years. It's very fortunate to be able to meet so many interesting community members who, you know, never cease to fascinate me in their fantastic stories and experiences that they have. And it's these stories and experiences that we endeavour to include in our architectural design as well, to make sure that the design work that we do really reflects the aspirations and histories of the communities that we partner with. And that's a real thrill to be involved in.
sbs.com.au